Hey there, it's Andrea. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you're here. You know, we're past 20 some episodes and I really feel like I'm getting to know you. Hopefully you're getting used to my imperfect Wisconsin accent. I am just glad you're here. You're doing important work, celebrating our students and staff. It's really great. And these conversations that you get to eavesdrop on, they just are filled with valuable information that you can take action on. And today will be no different. I am interviewing Kara Adney. She's out of Oklahoma. And she works for a technical center, and you're going to learn all about that. But she actually started in the department back in 2010, and that's when they started their social media journey. So they've learned a lot in the last 10 years. She's going to talk about the importance of building relationships with staff. She's going to share a surprising background that she has actually in the prison systems, which is very interesting, but she just loves dealing with people, right? She's going to talk about the importance of professional development and some of the things that she's done to invest in her skills and in her soul. School communications is not an easy job, especially within a pandemic, but she's really invested in growing her skills, and she's a lifelong learner. I can't wait for you to learn from Kara today. So without further waiting, we're going to jump right in. I'm Andrea Gribble, a Wisconsin mom who got laid off from her corporate career and jumped into entrepreneurship, not knowing exactly where that road might lead. I'm a natural-born cheerleader who discovered a way to cheer on schools through the power of social media. Turns out, social media isn't easy. I had to figure out what I was doing, and now I'm here to teach you everything I've learned. The Mastering Social Media for Schools podcast gives you simple, actionable strategies to celebrate your students and connect your communities through the power of social media. Join me as I pick the brains of experts across the country to bring you the best tips and tricks to make your school social media shine. Before we get started with today's interview with Kara, we are going to talk about our weekly K-12 PR tip. We always start with a little tip, and we're going to talk about it in the interview today, but it's all about systems. Kara has known that she's needed systems for years, and finally this summer, she set up a system. And what I want to talk about in setting up a system is setting up a method to get content to you. As the social media manager for your school, your school district, you're not the one actually taking all the photos and you know, creating all the stories. Those come from all of your staff members. The first step to setting up a great system is actually creating a separate email address. socialmedia@yourschool.com. And then you ask your staff to submit one to two things a month, a photo, a little description, send it to that email, and then you can take it from there. I'm telling you, it can be life-changing, at least work-changing, as we talked about with Kara. But setting up that system will allow you to avoid text messages, direct messages, emails to your, you know, school email, emails maybe to your personal account. Give them one simple way to submit content, and it'll make your job of organizing, making sure you don't miss something, much, much easier. So that is my challenge to you and my tip. Set up an email address that's just for those social media items. And if you love the tips that we share, I hope that you will take advantage of our new three-part video series. It's called The Social Media Secrets for Schools. It's totally free. It's three separate videos that are each just 15 minutes long, but I really teach you the basics of what it takes to run social media for a K-12 school. The link to sign up for that is in the show notes. You can go to socialschool4edu.com/secrets. That'll take you there as well, but I invite you in. And now let's get to our interview with Kara. Hey, Kara, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We can't see each other right now. We're having a few technical difficulties, but nothing that a couple school communicators can't work their way through, right?
Or that they shouldn't. Yeah.
We were patient and we got there. For the listeners who maybe don't know who Kara Adney is, I would love for you to just kind of introduce yourself and share some of your background.
Yeah. My name is Kara Adney. I am the Marketing and Media Relations Coordinator at Meridian Technology Center, located in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I think most of the people that you've had on the podcast are from K-12 schools, and so I'm the exception, it seems like, so far. The tech center world is a little bit different than K-12, and so I will give just a tiny bit of background about that, just to give some framing to the rest of anything that I talk about. In Oklahoma, our tech center system is its own educational system, so we don't fall under K-12. We also don't fall under the community college system or higher ed. My tech center, just like there are 29 of us in the state, we have our own board of educations for each school, but we also have a state board of career tech, very much like how K-12 and higher ed has their overarching boards. And so my tech center, we serve 10 school districts. And how people are a part of our school district is at some point or another in their community's history, they have voted. The residents of that school district have voted to be a part of a technology center district. And so as long as you live in that educational boundary by that school district, you have an opportunity to take classes at Meridian. If you're a high school student, at no cost. As an adult student, you have a very reduced rate for education. And so the tech center that I'm at, we serve, like I said, 10 different communities near us. We provide transportation to and from those sending school partners. Most of our programs are juniors and seniors in high school, but we do have adult students. And so by adult, that could be 18, or that could be adult being 40 or 50, which we do have in some of our programs. Some states have the adult and the high school students separate, and they're all in the same classroom for us. And so we have about 20 plus career majors that students can take. If you're a high school student, you come either in the morning or the afternoon session and attend either your high school in the opposite session with that. Most of our programs are about 2 years. We've changed in the last couple of years to be able to do 1 year training programs. So that's just kind of the summary of Meridian and tech centers here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I love this as a parent of, I got six kids, blended family, and I just love that these kids get this opportunity right in high school to come out with like an associate's degree, right?
In some of the programs you can. It's changed a little bit here in Oklahoma with how you can get college credit. When high school students come, they are either getting high school credit for academics, depending on the program that they're in, or general elective credits. That is all going to vary by that sending school. Once you finish a program and you do go on to higher ed, and that could be at a community college or that could be at a four-year university, there's a process in place to where you can demonstrate your skill, and then they award college credits based on what you submit for that. So,
okay.
It's a long and complex process, but it is there.
Yeah. And you have a lot of, there's culinary classes. I saw cosmetology because they were doing some hair and nails and construction.
We do. Yeah. We have the core, what most people would know as the core vocational programs, which would kind of be our building trades, our automotive programs, our welding, machining, but we also have college prep courses as well, or college prep programs in our STEM academy. And so that is going to be biomedical sciences and then pre-engineering.
Okay.
And so we kind of have the gamut.
Okay. And about how many students do you serve there?
High school and adult, we serve around 800, anywhere from 800 to 900 full-time students. So
that's amazing. And, we are in the fall of 2020. You have students in person, obviously practicing all the social distancing and masking and some of those things, right?
Yeah, we do. Stillwater, where I'm located, is actually one of the hotbeds, so to speak, for COVID numbers. And so we are on a blended schedule, but we are offering training 5 days a week. Students are divided either by first year or second year for the most part. And so we have students on campus Monday and Tuesday. Everyone is virtual on Wednesday. And then Thursday and Friday, we have another group of students here on campus. And so it's a lot of blending, a lot of tech, a lot going on.
Yeah, but it's good. Learning is happening. Mm-hmm. And from your social media channels, I can see all the great things that are happening. How long have you been at Meridian?
This is my 14th year at Meridian, 10 years in this department. I spent about 4 years working in a support role in the superintendent's office. And hands down, I think that that gave me the scope that I would need to understand, like from the system level, the state level, and even plugged in at the national level with things. I had a lot of opportunities to connect in that position, and then moved into marketing, and it's been a decade, which is kind of crazy to think.
That's amazing. You've come a long way, baby.
Yeah.
And I'd like to just, you know, you do a lot with marketing. Obviously, you have to pull in students and even adults. But obviously, the podcast is all about social media. So can you just kind of explain your journey with social media at Meridian Tech?
Yeah, we really jumped into social. Well, I really should say we tiptoed into social media right around the time that I joined the department. So about a decade ago, and we started with just a Facebook page. And the content is so different now than what it was when we look back at some of the older content. Just what we choose to focus on and highlight is a little different. But we started small, and we started really not knowing what it was going to do and how many people that we would have who were going to connect with us. And I looked today, we are about almost at 4,800 followers on Facebook. And so that is our largest platform that we have. But we now have a presence on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. We do LinkedIn as well. And then I have claimed our name for TikTok, which I don't anticipate us ever using, but it's ours just in case. One thing that is a little different for tech centers is that when I described what we do, I really just talked about one part of it, the student focus. Tech centers in Oklahoma, they have a heavy business and in industry presence as well. And so like Twitter and LinkedIn, we primarily focus on those career training programs that are for existing industries. And so they have a much more professional tone than what our Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat obviously has.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'm going to link all of your social channels in the show mm-hmm. notes so everybody can visit you there. And I love it because you're just seeing so many hands-on photographs, mm-hmm. even with what's going on. So are you taking most of these pictures? Are you getting some of them from your staff, you know, your teachers themselves, or how do you get content?
So it depends. In the 10 years that I've been here, I really focus heavily on building relationships with our staff members. Almost every single person on campus has my cell phone and use that because we are just one campus. And so it is easy for me to walk into a program at any time and just be able to capture anything that's going on. I kind of have visual images in excess because so much of what we do is hands-on. A majority of the time that our students are on our campus, they are working in a lab. And almost every single one of them is visual. And so I'm lucky in that sense. And when I can't be somewhere, I do have, I tell people, I tell our instructors, if I can't be there, take some photos and just send them to me. And I also tell students the same way. I have an additional hat that I wear is with a leadership class on campus. And one of the first things I do is give them my cell number and say, if something awesome is going on in your program and I can't be there, just take a picture and send it to me with that. And so, but I would say about 95% of the content on our social media is something that I have taken.
Okay. And do you have a staff within your department? Because, I mean, you're not just obviously social media and communications, you're marketing too. So, or is that mainly just you?
I'm fortunate we have a team of five. And part of that, I feel guilty sometimes saying that because I know how spoiled I am when I talk to other people who are making amazing things happen with one person. So we do have myself and my supervisor. She has a writing background. We have two full-time graphic designers, and then we have a new person on our staff who also writes, and she also does some design elements as well.
Okay. But it's almost like a higher ed feel.
Yeah, it very much is. And that part of the reason that we have the team size that we have is because the full-time training is one portion of what we do. The business and industry services, it is very much marketing, direct marketing. It is very much partnership driven with chambers of commerce and existing industries. And so we spend probably maybe a third of our time with our biz, and then the other two thirds with what people will see on our social media channels.
Awesome. So you've been in school PR for 10 years and didn't have what was your background before that? I mean,
I'm guessing you don't know this story. So my background before I came to tech was actually in private prisons.
Actually, we had this talk when we were on our runs at Enstra. Yeah. I remember this. So yes, tell me this.
And so it's a unique journey to get to where I am. I think out of the people that I know in communications and school PR, Tracy Gents is probably the one who can relate or at least understand a little bit more my journey to get here. My undergraduate work in college was in print journalism and in public relations. And on a whim, I took a sociology class and my junior year and absolutely fell in love with it. And I tell people, like, it's a crazy story, but it all works. Like, all the pieces fit together really, really well. And so I crammed in a whole major of sociology kind of towards the end. And my area of interest was in corrections, but specifically with programs that were designed to help people re-enter society as productive citizens. And so I moved to Oklahoma. I'm on year 20 of a 5-year plan to get my doctorate and to teach. And it was just an interesting journey. And so I had an opportunity to work in a private correctional institution near where I went to grad school. And again, my area of interest was in reentry programs. And part of Oklahoma's career tech system, I mean, in full disclosure, I didn't know this when I came here, but part of the system, the umbrella that I fall under as a tech center, one of the areas that they do is the job training that takes place in the state correctional facilities, the vocational programs. And so that was always kind of my interest, was looking at programming. And I met my husband. He worked in private corrections as well. And so our lives were just consumed by that industry. And it's a stressful industry, rewarding, but stressful, much like education. And I just knew that I wanted to work somewhere. Honestly, I would tell people, I want to work somewhere where people want to get job skills before the state says that you have to have one. And so I knew nothing of the career tech system before I came to work here. I grew up in Kentucky, and it was very much in the 90s, a traditional vocational system with the traditional courses. And so came into it really naive, but definitely found my place. And so I think my sociology background, as well as the communication background, it really helps me understand when I'm working on writing in our recruitment pieces, because we do have to recruit students. I attribute my ability to put myself in the audience standpoint, coming from the sociology courses that I've taken, much more than the writing and the communications courses that I've taken. So at its heart, I tell people, like, I've always just been in the business of people. It's just a different type of people right now. So so that's a long-winded story. But
Yeah, but then your background, though, was communication, mm-hmm. journalism, mm-hmm. all of that, and then fell in love with the sociology aspect. I love that story. And obviously, you're very passionate and committed to what your career, you know, technical mm-hmm. center does, you know, for the students, for society. I love it. So obviously, you know, once you got into your career, I think you really focused on professional development. You seem like someone that's really kind of made sure to surround yourself with people that you're going to learn from. And I met you at INSPRA, that's a national organization. So can you just talk to me about some of the organizations that you're involved with that help you become a better school communicator, even though, again, you're a little bit different than just a traditional K-12, but obviously, you know, a lot of the language is, you know, similar. So.
Yeah, I think at heart, I'm a learner. And I mean, if I didn't have to work, I would just be in school full time. I would be one of those people. And so the professional development is very important to me. And I'm fortunate that I work in an industry that specializes in professional development. And so a lot of school districts don't have that type of that support built in internally. And so I'm very, very grateful and thankful for where I am. But because we do, our school district and our school board does support our involvement in national and state organizations and encourages us to not only to attend, but to be able to share the great things that we do and to be able to present with that. But yeah, so at the state level, I'm involved in our state chapter of INSPRA, so the Oklahoma School Public Relations Association. I've been involved in that since I moved into this department, so 10 years. We have about 100 people who are a part of that association, and it's a mix of K-12 and career tech people. Our career tech organization, we actually have a communications and marketing council that is just for career tech career tech communicators. And so, whereas with the OKAY group, we look at the bigger picture and the bigger topics, the state communications group, we really focus in on topics that we're all experiencing, like recruiting students, how are we getting our messaging out, looking at that business and education component in the relationship with things. As I mentioned, or as we've talked about, I have an opportunity to attend INSPRA every year. I've been very, very fortunate because that is a huge investment on the part of a school district. And so I've been able to attend. I've presented a couple of times at INSPRA and have realized that it's much more enjoyable if I am there soaking up information rather than stressing the entire time about my presentation. And both times that I have presented, I have been at the same time as someone that I was just like so excited to learn from. And so I have learned that I just want to take in information at INSPRA. And so that's, as you mentioned, that's where we met. And my school has also found the value in, with Social Schools for EDU, we have a group membership for three people in our office. We also have a local social media group here in Stillwater that that meets. I am not as plugged into that group because it also meets at another time of something else. But since it's been virtual, I've been able to tap in a little bit more with COVID with that. And so I'm also fortunate that we offer a lot of training here on campus for local businesses who have essentially the same needs that we have in communications. And so I take a lot of training here that we offer on campus. Like yesterday, I sat in on a webinar. We had planned it months before COVID, and so the irony is not lost, but it was, I didn't sign up for this, and it was on accepting and navigating change. And so so I have a lot of opportunities to be able to grow professionally with things.
That's awesome. And you can learn so much from mm-hmm. those organizations and what they offer. But I think hands down, it's the relationships that you build, right?
That is the biggest takeaway I find, from INSPRA. Even this year, I mean, they did it. I felt like that they did the best job that they could with providing virtual training. But man, did I miss connecting and building those relationships with people. My husband makes fun of me because I'm an early to bed person. And when I'm at INSPRA, I stay up late and socialize and talk to people. But I tell him, like, I only see them once a year. So, I mean, I have to give it all I have. And, but it really is, that's been the biggest takeaway for me, is putting faces with names and being able to establish true relationships. Because I've been able to call or text people when we've had issues or someone has something similar happening in their school district, or I know someone who knows someone. Those elements, you just can't put a price tag on that type of relationship that comes from being able to attend. So,
yeah, because a lot of, I mean, even though you are in a lucky to be in a department of five, many of these people mm-hmm. are one person shops, and you're probably handling things differently than, I mean, obviously you've got a couple graphic designers, so they don't deal with the same things that you do. So being able to just mm-hmm. like phone a friend, right? And be like, oh, I know this person dealt with something like that, or that person knows someone that, oh, they got the resources that you need. You don't have to recreate the wheel. Now, you're really lucky that Meridian believes in mm-hmm. that investment, right? In professional development. What would you say, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but what would you say to someone who says, I would love to be a part of my state chapter or the local mm-hmm. chapter, or, you know, the national chapter of INSPRA, or, you know, like you mentioned, you're part of our membership group, but we don't have a budget for that, or, you know, I can't ask for money. What would you say to those listeners?
So before you announced your webinar package, I would have said, if your district can't afford INSPRA, you have to, and this is not a, I'm not saying this just because it's your podcast. I literally have said this to people in OKSPRA, is that if your district can't afford to send you to INSPRA, and I completely understand, to join your association, Social Schools for EDU, because I feel like you bring the big hitters from INSPRA to everyone. And for people who had a one-person shop, I feel like that your registration was on par for, I mean, like, people were definitely going to get, even if they were only able to sit in live for two, that's your money back, I feel like, for what you would pay for a day-long seminar. And so I was giddy when you announced that you were doing the webinar package, because many of our OKSPRA members, and in full disclosure, I'm on the OKSPRA board, but we committed several years ago that we were going to invest in our members, because so many of them would never have an opportunity to attend INSPRA. And so we spent the money, our money, and got sponsors and whatnot to bring the best of INSPRA to OKSPRA. And you were one of those people that we brought in. Like, as soon as we made this commitment, you were one, I think you were maybe our first INSPRA person that we had. And so looking at where you can get plugged in at the local level with things. But I have said, participating in your group, it is probably the best investment outside of INSPRA that my school district has made in me.
Well, thank you. And we value so much of what you add to the group as well. So we have a webinar pass. We have a membership program that's really a 365-day support system for our schools. And I'll definitely link to some of that information. But I did kind of want to tease a little bit as we kind of wrap up, because we piloted a program this summer. And as of today, when people are listening to this, there's going to be an opportunity to get on a waiting list for when we offer this next, which obviously COVID has put in a damper on that, because we all work from home. Stephanie's a mom of three kids. Stephanie Sins, our chief people officer that led that social media boot camp. So we're figuring out when we can do it. But you got to be a part of that pilot program, which mm-hmm. in full disclosure, Kara, you're a 10-year veteran. Stephanie was freaking out when you and Tracy Jen signed up for it, because she's like, oh my gosh, I can't teach these ladies anything. like they've been in the profession for, you know, so long, mm-hmm. 10 years. I think Tracy's been 7-8 years. So she was kind of freaking out, but it was a 5-week program and it was kind of an immersive like training and takeaways. So can you kind of just talk about that experience?
So, and I remember when you put out the call, like if anybody's interested in this, and I found out that I was accepted. I mean, I wanted to be sure that I wasn't taking the spot of someone who was new. I mean, I'm realistic enough to know that, you know, social media changes so often, and I have screwed up so often with things or just taken a longer way than what I needed to. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do it is A, again, it's that learner portion of me. And just the content that I have been able to pull from the membership program. And even if you can't join, I mean, you offer so many downloadable PDFs and your blog and everything that's just free with that. And so I knew that if I was doing it, that I was going to get quality. And I knew that I had a lot to learn. I mean, even being in 10 years, I knew that I had a lot to learn. And so, yeah, it was, I think, 5 weeks and it was intensive. I mean, don't sign up thinking that you're going to be just like, hey, I'm going to hang out for an hour. You're not. And Stephanie, I mean, I learned so much and she adapted the one of the days because I had such a huge learning curve with something. And so, I mean, she kept us on track, but that honestly is, I think the biggest takeaway from it is that, and this is where, like, if we're cutting off at 25 minutes, A, we're already late because I'm just getting started on the boot camp because I loved it. But the format was simple. And like the first day you would listen, like everything is broken down. You know your topics in advance with things or your big topics. And the first day is just for you to learn and just soak information in. And I think it was like an hour and a half is what we did each of the sessions. And then the second day is when you'd have time to process and you could come back and ask questions. And there were times where we weren't even asking questions of Stephanie. We were asking questions from other people in the group. And there was such a wide variety in the group. I mean, we had people who were just starting their district's Facebook page. We had people who were working full time, as social media managers or as communication people. We had people like Tracy and I, we both were kind of the veterans in the group of people who had been there or been in the industry for a long time. And I think she and I took just as much out of it as a couple of the people who were brand new in it. But then your third day is the most valuable day. And it was the most stressful day to me. But it was what I needed because that was the day that you had to show your homework, so to speak, because we would talk about a broad topic. So we would talk about like getting a system in place. And then the second day, you know, people would share their system or like for me, I didn't have a system and this was what I needed. I mean, I've known for 10 years that I needed a system. So this is not rocket science of, oh, great idea. But once I started on my system and started my calendar and blocking out or making a list of like every March, this is what events that our students are in. I honestly told my boss, I was like, no wonder I'm overwhelmed at times. When you see it all together, it changed my perspective and it helped me figure out where I needed to work ahead and where I had some time where I could create some margin in streamlining things. That was the big takeaway for me. Like there are certain projects that I'm able to batch, and you guys talk about batching a lot because it's life changing. And so for people who aren't familiar with it, it's like taking an hour out of your time or out of your day and scheduling everything that's kind of the same or reoccurring. And so I was able to finally have the time and the accountability because I didn't want to be embarrassed and say, oh, I haven't done anything on homework this week with that. And so I shared with my boss just how much I was getting done. And I think I left a review to be able to share, but I've been meaning to send you all this, is that my boss said, you know, I can tell that it's good for your skills, but most importantly, it's been good for your soul. And I thought, wow, but that is the truth. From the learning how to get things done to just the feeling of, huh, I'm doing something better than what I was doing before. And this was the one, I'm a writer and photographer. And so design makes me nauseous. Like, I'm the person who stresses out going into Hobby Lobby because it's just overload with things. And my boss had challenged me earlier in the year to get comfortable with Canva. Like, she made it very clear that I was not going to be taking over a designer's position, but just to be able to be comfortable and to do basic things on my own. And the idea just made me nauseous. And through this group, though, every time I'd be like, oh, I'm so nervous about it. And so one day we just had like a one-day Canva tutorial. And man, could it not have come at a better time with COVID and the expectations and the needs that we were going to have. And so just the system that's in place with it, in the way that you all have it set up of the 3 days, one topic, but that third day is the most valuable day, is when you're showing that you're getting all your stuff done.
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of online courses out there, right? But the accountability that you guys had to show up, and you guys all like created this little group of you, right, where you could really grow and talk together. I did have tears in my eyes for a little bit because you talked about how this program was good for your skills, but it's good for your soul. And that is like one of the driving forces that behind my whole business, it's really transformed into learning how much struggle and stress there is in school PR. But if we can get back to that system, you can manage social media and not have social media manage you. And it makes me so happy to hear that.
I don't want to say life-changing because people use that, but I mean, it was definitely work-changing for sure. I have so many things built up that I'm ready to just launch when the time, you know, comes for it. I was able to get a lot of templates set up so that, you know, when we have to close suddenly for whatever reason, or, you know, back in the day where snow days were your biggest concern, I'm ready. But I would have never taken that leap. And even if I did, I don't think that things would look as good as what they have, because part of the group and part of the Fridays, I believe was our day, where you showed everything, people gave feedback, and it was honest feedback, but only to help us grow and make better and be more polished with that heart. So,
yeah. Right. And I remember getting an email, I think after your first week, and you're like, Andrea, I know you've been telling me this for years, like through blogs and webinars and, you know, all this stuff, downloads, but it's like, now I finally did it. And then that is what that's what we all want. Like, I'm not just saying this to listen to myself talk, because I don't like listening to my Wisconsin accent. But if you can actually take the time, make some changes, that's what it's about. And we are opening up a waiting list. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I want some of what Kara has experienced, we are opening up a waiting list, and that link is in the show notes. So sign up. There will be a cost. Kara got to go, no charge, because she's part of our membership group and it was just the beta program, but there will be a charge, but we will be discounting that first group. Sign up if you're interested. We will get that on the schedule, hopefully before the winter break is what we're hoping, but it could be right after the winter break. But we just want to help more schools, and we want to help more, you know, people like Kara, school communicators, have those kind of
results. No, and like, so I said,
that's exciting.
You know,
thanks
I have
for sharing.
A decade of experience, but technology changes, tools change, the way that people interact changes. And so no matter if you're brand new or a veteran, so to speak, there will be something for you, and there will be people there with you as well along that journey. And I will say, one of the other things that I loved about it is that you all provided best practices. But Stephanie, and even when Heidi popped in every once in a while and you were there, you all focused back on, we're sharing best practices, but you know your district, you know your school district, I mean your community, and you know your school. you follow that, what moves, but here is industry-wide what is recommended. And so for us, with the way that our school day is, so to speak, it doesn't fit the traditional K-12. And so I tried some of the timing, like the set posting times, and noticed that we weren't getting the same type of engagement. And so switched it back to a little different. But that's a part of that education process, that look at your data and make decisions based on that. And you all pushed that, and you went behind the scenes and showed people who were brand new how to find that information out for themselves. And so it's a lot of technical, but it's also a lot of digging into what you're already doing to try to make some sense out of the madness.
Sense out of the madness.
It did. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, our time flew by, Kira. I knew it would, because you know, you and I can talk a lot over a 5K, and this would almost, you know, we'd be a little bit over our time. I think we're a little bit faster than this. But what's the best way for folks to? We've got all the links to your social channels for the school, but if they want to stay connected,
Twitter,
to you,
and so
what's the best
it's Kara Adney, all one word. And I think you'll have that in there as well. Also, since I do manage all of our school sites, if you can't remember my name, just remember Meridian Technology Center. And if you send a message for anything with that, I'll be the one answering. So.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kara. You gave a wealth of knowledge for all of our listeners.
I really appreciate
the conversation.
Thank you for providing the opportunity for people like me to learn, and also just to share how good it's been. So I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys all next time. Bye-bye. Well, that's a wrap. Another episode of our podcast. I hope you learned a lot. And if you did, you should hit subscribe, right? Have you subscribed to this podcast yet? We come out with new content every single Monday. We're interviewing great guests. We're uncovering great tips that are going to help your school. Hit the subscribe button. And if you haven't left me a review yet, love to hear from you there. So just hit a review. Now, in the show notes, you can actually sign up for my newsletter. You guys, socialschoolforedu.com. We've been serving schools since 2014. We just focus on social media. And if you want helpful videos and blog articles and links to other helpful content, you're going to want to be on that free newsletter. So check that out in the show notes and get signed up today. SocialSchoolForEDU.com is our website. You can check out more of what we offer there. My mission is to help schools celebrate what's going on in their districts with social media. We work with public schools, we work with private schools, we work with charter schools, and we share all of our experience through free content and through some paid services, which include a membership program, a webinar pass. We even do full management for schools. We just want to make social media and celebrating schools easier. So you can check out more at our website, socialschoolforedu.com. Until next time, guys, keep telling those stories.